The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Great crowds accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus uses a little bit stronger language here that we normally think of Jesus. And so I'm going to kind of go through the gospel lesson this morning. We're going to just look to see what Jesus has to say here. All right, so it starts out, great crowds accompanied Jesus. Jesus had been out teaching, preaching, healing for quite a while at this point. His name was being made known, and people were flocking to him. If they heard Jesus was in a certain town, they'd go all running that way to see Jesus. In chapter 12, at one point, it even says thousands were following Jesus. So we're looking at large numbers of people here that are following Jesus. Why so many people? Well, people are following for different reasons. Some people follow because they do believe that he is the Messiah promised of God, had been promised for centuries, that God was fulfilling his promises, that yes, this was the Messiah, the Savior, who was to come into the world. Others were following because maybe they needed healing. And they had seen or had heard that Jesus does healing. Others were fascinated by what Jesus said. They were intrigued by his sermons. They wanted to hear more of his teachings. And so they were following Jesus. Some of them were just fascinated with the whole spectacle of Jesus coming in. They didn't know for sure if he was the Messiah. And so they wanted to hear more. They wanted to see more before they could make a commitment. Other people were there just for the entertainment of it. Jesus has a good show. Is he going to heal somebody? Is somebody going to attack him today? And so they were just there for the entertainment. Some of them were there to attack Jesus, to catch him, so that they could discredit him. Others were there just simply because they saw the crowds and wanted to know what was going on. So people came for all reasons to follow Jesus, to be there with Jesus. And the numbers for Jesus weren't necessarily all that important. What was important for Jesus was the commitment, was the faith, to be able to hear and see that the kingdom of God had come near. The gospel goes on and says, "And he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot become my disciple. Those are hard words. If you hate your mother and father and all the rest of your family. So what's Jesus mean here? Certainly he can't say that you actually hate your family. I mean, after all, you look at the Ten Commandments, and the commandment says, honor your father and your mother. That's about family. Or the another commandment, you shall not commit adultery. That's to hold the family together. Think of all the places here in the Bible where family is so important. Even in our first lesson today, it mentions family, or it mentions the ancestors of the people of Israel, of how important families were. And families are important to us too. I mean, we grew up in families. Our families molded and shaped us and taught us and loved us, cared for us, made sure that we were doing okay, defended us, protected us, provided for us. Families are important. That's the center of where we learn. So what's Jesus saying here? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children. I think what Jesus is saying here is priorities. Yes, family is very important to us. Yes, family is very good. But at the same time, what comes first in our lives is our faith. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament then too. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. God comes first. God created us. God made us. Our life comes from God. Our families come from God. All that we have comes from God. What we eat comes from God. What we wear, the house that we live in, comes from God. God is first. God is number one. And that's where our priorities go. Our priorities go with God, with our faith. It's that commitment. Here, all these large crowds are following Jesus. But he knows that all those are not sincere. What Jesus wants is sincere faith. Jesus had said, all those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. Salvation is a gift. It's simply given to us. God sent his Son into the world to save us, and that's exactly what Jesus did. He went to the cross, and then he rose from the dead, giving us the promise of everlasting life with us. It's not what we did, it's not our work, it's what God did for us for salvation. All those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. In baptism is our entrance into the kingdom of God. We are reassured of the salvation. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we are called Christian. If you believe and are baptized, you shall be saved. So what's the belief part of this? And I think that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here in this gospel lesson. It's that belief part. To believe, you simply believe it. You simply believe that God has done this for us. So what's it mean to believe? If you believe in something, it's going to guide your life. If you believe your family is important to you, you are going to make sure that your family is taken care of. You're going to take care of each of the members in your family. You're going to make sure that they're doing well or help them along. If you believe that the most important thing in the world is money, you're going to do whatever you can to get that money. If you believe power is important, you're going to do anything in this world to gain that power, even if it means hurting other people. If you want the money, you're going to get the money, or you're going to try to get that money, even if it means dishonest ways of getting that money. What you believe is what is important to you. And here Jesus is saying, believe, have faith, and that should be your number one priority. Have faith in God. And it's not necessarily just, it's not hating your family, but it's willing to make that hard choice. What if my family goes against God? What if my family does not believe? What if my family is ridiculing my faith? What happens then? What choice do I make? Do I make the choice of holding on to my faith, or do I make the choice of holding on to my family? It's hard choices here. Hard choices. Like I said, Jesus speaks hard words in our gospel lesson this morning. But he speaks it in different ways, because the next verse here then too basically says the same thing. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. One of the highest priorities we put on ourselves is ourself. So what is more important? Is it family? Is it God? Or is it myself? And so many times it's myself. We get greedy. We don't want to be hurt. We'd rather hurt somebody else than be hurt ourselves. And so Jesus is saying, put all that stuff behind you. Put all those things behind you that come in the way of faith in God. Put yourself on a cross, even if that means making the hard choices, even if that means that you may be ridiculed, even though if that means that you will be cast out. There are people today that are even willing still to go to death in order to follow Christ. Martyrs are still being made today in this world. That's how strong their faith is. Or Jesus says it another way. He tells two parables here as well then too. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it again begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I remember in my when I was serving my first parish, and that was out in Harper, up in the hill country. San Antonio was the closest big city, and I would venture to say that I was in San Antonio maybe at least once a month, either to make hospital visits, or I'd have meetings there, or sometimes it was just to do major shopping, or sometimes just to go spend the day, take the kids, the family, and go spend a day enjoying the sights of San Antonio. And I noticed, driving to San Antonio, somewhere between Bernie and San Antonio, through that stretch, that San Antonio was growing fast in that day and time, as it still is. But there was a building starting to go up, and it was fascinating to watch it go up. First, they cleared all the land, leveled it out, bulldozed all the brush that was out there, and then they started hauling in materials. And each time I drove by, I could see something new that was happening in the stage of building a building. And so you could see the progress that they were making. And then they laid out a foundation, poured the concrete for it, and started putting up the steel structure, the beams going up and some of the beams that went across the building for the structure of the building. And then it stopped. Drove by again. There was nothing happening. Drove by again. There was nothing happening again. And for 4 or 5 years, there was nothing happening with the building. And in the meantime then, I could see the brush growing back. The piles of materials were starting to deteriorate. I did notice they built a fence around the place because, who knows, some of those supplies were probably being pilfered. And just wondering, what's going on? What made them stop building that building? Did they run out of money? Did they run into a lawsuit? Was the structure no good? What was happening? And I wasn't the only one driving I-10 in that day and time. Thousands of people drove by and they saw that building. Somebody lost out. Somebody lost a lot of money. It was not able to be finished. I think years later, I noticed there was a building there. But a lot was lost. Jesus is telling us, count the cost. If you're going to go into this, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, it does cost us. It costs us to make those hard decisions. Where do we put our priorities? Do we put it on ourselves? Do we put it on our families? Do we put it on our work? Do we put it on making money? Do we put it on our prestige? Do we put it on our power? Where is our priority? What is most important to us? And if we can't do it, then why would we want to be a disciple? We can't be a disciple if we're not willing to do that. Or the second parable here then too. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. I remember back in the early 1990s, if you remember the Gulf War, that Iraq had invaded Kuwait, and the United States and other countries had vowed to defend Kuwait. And so the United States and other countries decided to go to war to get Iraq out of Kuwait. And so they started to put their armies together. And there was no war, because they were building up everything. There were encampments made in Saudi Arabia, airstrips. There were supplies that were brought in. Plans were made, strategic plans were made. How the allies were going to work together, what they were responsible for. Tons and tons of supplies of ammunition, of food, of tents, of soldiers, all coming in. And then when the war started, it took less time for the war to take place than it took for getting everything ready. I think that war was, what, less than 100 days, I think, or right at 100 days? It's that planning process, or counting the cost. What's it going to take? Make sure that you can get the job done. And so as we are Christians, and as we believe, we look at what it takes to get the job done of believing in Jesus Christ, of being his disciple. Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to make that commitment to be a follower? Or does other stuff get in the way? And then towards the end here, verse 34, salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or the manure pile. It is thrown away. Salt in that day and time, much of the salt was mined, and it was not pure salt. You know, you think, how can salt lose its saltiness? That's the essence of salt. That's what salt is the saltiness. Well, for us, yes, because we have pretty well pure salt is what we buy at the store. But back then, it just wasn't quite that pure. And so there would be other stuff, inert materials within that salt. There may be little pebbles even, or sand, or other minerals. And so salt could actually lose its saltiness. The salt itself could be drained out. It could be evaporated out with the moisture in the air. And if that happens, then it's no longer salt. You still have a pile of something, but it's not salt anymore. Rather, it's just dust, it's sand, it may be little pebbles or rocks, other minerals, but it's not salt. It's lost its usefulness completely. I think about that then too, of those who are baptized, and then they come to confirmation class. And then we don't see them anymore. We don't see people anymore, especially after they get out of high school or they move on. We do not see people anymore, other than maybe for a wedding and then eventually for their funeral. Where did they go? Have they lost their saltiness? Well, they may think, I still believe, but do they do anything with it? Have they counted the cost? Are they able to make the hard choices? Where are they? Where are they? Is that salt lost? Is it lost? Has that faith benefited them throughout life? And then the last phrase here. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I know my wife used to accuse me of having a selective hearing. And I think a lot of times that what we have too. We are going to believe what we want to believe. But if you have ears, and it's not only hearing, but actually listening, paying attention to what Jesus has been saying. Think about these things. Think about the cost of what it takes to be a Christian. to be devoted, to give your time, to give your talents, to give your possessions, to help a stranger, to care for someone who needs help, to give love to each other, to be a part of your own families, and also to reach out to strangers, or even being able to forgive those people you do not want to forgive. It's hard choices to be a Christian. Count those costs. Throw yourself into it and simply believe. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.